sang out a song of the soul.
And we'll sing this song. Why don't you sing along? And we can sing.
Music has an incredible ability to proclaim the soul's language beyond what mere words can speak. That is what we seek as we invite our guests to share their song of the soul. Be it joy and laughter, sorrow and tears, awe and insight, or deepest devotion, as we visit and listen, we are all part of a spiritual voyage called Song of the Soul. We've got a great gift of music for you today for Song of the Soul. Our guest is Narissa Neilds, who shares equal lead billing with her sister, Katrina, of the group known as The Neilds. Their website proclaims them to be equal parts Beatles, Cranberries, and Joni Mitchell, and that description is admirably accurate and concise. It's hard to adequately capture the power of their songs and voices, except to tell you that you need to brace yourself to be inspired, moved, and likely brought to tears. We're only able to share a tiny fraction of the riches of their 21 albums in our show. Actually, we have the uncut version of this interview on the northernspiritradio.org website, including 12 more minutes of wonderful visiting with Narissa, stuff you really want to hear, so check that out. Right now, we go to Northampton, Massachusetts for a visit with Narissa Neilds via Zoom. Narissa, thank you so much for joining me today for Song of the Soul.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
Let's talk a little bit about the history with the Neilds. You and Katrina and three other persons were the band of origin. What year did you start out?
Well, Katrina and I are sisters, and we're 2 years apart. So sometimes we say we started, you know, when Katrina was born. So I guess 1969, that would be. But honestly, Katrina and I grew up in a musical family. Our parents loved folk music. Their first date was to go see Odetta. Second date, Harry Belafonte. Third date, the Weavers. And they fell in love to Last Night I Had the Strangest Dream. My dad plays guitar and they both sing and my mother harmonized. And we just grew up with folk music and also country music on the AM radio station, the sort of classic country of the late 60s, early 70s. And I didn't really love country music at the time, but now I totally appreciate it. I discovered the Beatles when I was 9 and Katrina loved them too. And we started saving all our pennies to buy Beatles albums, LPs. We both did a lot of musical theater and choral singing. And one day when we were in high school, we were singing one of the choral songs together. And this classmate of ours said, "You guys have the most unbelievable blend."
I agree.
That was sort of the beginning of me thinking that I would sing with Katrina. I wanted to be a songwriter from the age of 7. I thought I could sing, but I didn't really believe I could write songs. And that seemed like the absolute hardest thing in the entire world to do, was to write songs. And then when I was 13, a few months after John Lennon died, I was meditating. Didn't really know what that meant, but I was meditating. And in my meditation, I met John Lennon on an island, and I somehow knew I was going to be able to write a song after that. And then I did write a song after that, and I began to write songs. They still weren't very good, but they were actual songs. I began to sing them and I won a talent show singing one of my songs. And that was it. I was like, I am going to do this. In my mid-teens, I sort of lost my nerve about that and decided I was going to be a minister. And then this friend said this thing about Katrina's in my blend. And I thought, I think maybe if Katrina's with me, I could do this. So we started out as a duo and then very quickly added a guitar player named David Jones, who I ended up marrying, and he took my name. So he was David Neilds. And then Katrina added another Dave, her friend, Dave Chalfant, who became her husband. And Dave Chalfant asked his friend, Dave Howard, to play drums with us. Oh. And we had a band of Dave. And we traveled around the country in a white 15-passenger Dodge Ram van named Moby. Pretty quickly grew a fan base. We were very lucky. We got offered first an independent record deal with Razor and Tie, which was Dar Williams' label. Then a major label deal with a subsidiary of EMI. and toured the country and Canada. Then my marriage to David Jones slash Neils fell apart around 2000, 2001. And that's when Katrina and I started making duo records.
But you've kept one Dave in your band, at least, or maybe a couple.
Two. Right?
Two of Dave's.
Yeah.
So Got to Get Over Greta, which is an early song from your point of view. First album, maybe?
Second album.
Second album. That's 1995 or so. I'm just trying to map out some of this. But right now, we should probably get going with today's selections. And this is the first time that you, Nerissa Nields, are on Song of the Soul. How do we want to start it out?
A good place would be with This Town Is Wrong, which is a song that I wrote for the last full band Nields album that came out on Rounder Records in the year 2000. We didn't realize it was our last record. I mean, the last is that iteration of the band. But we're very proud of the record. And I'd written this song because I literally had a dream of hearing Todd Rundgren singing the line, Angela, this town is wrong. And I woke up and I said to my then husband, David, who was in the band and who knew all about Todd Rundgren, and I said, what Todd Rundgren song is this? And I sang him that. And he said, it's no Todd Rundgren song. That's you. So it took me about a year to write the song. What the song was about was like a story. It was a story that was being told as I listened to the little bits of information I was sort of being given. This song ended up becoming a novel a couple of years later because we had this fan who is the acquisitions editor at Scholastic Books. And she said, I want you to write a YA novel about these characters. So that became Plastic Angel, which is its whole other story. But it's sort of thematic because I am a novelist. And it's been really interesting to see the ways in which songs and novels are similar and different.
It's even going to be more interesting for people to hear this wonderful song. It's performed by the Nields. The song is This Town Is Wrong.
You've always been a good girl, smart girl, pretty girl, lucky girl, happy as the day is long. You've always been a good girl, smart girl, pretty girl, lucky girl, happy as the day is long. At stake in you. Do you have any idea what they put you through? They tell you you will go far, a little star. How I wonder what you are when I watch you wearing your jewels. They want you to have long hair, short skirts, clear skin, nothing hurts. Follow. Angela, this town is wrong. used acoustic guitar. You only need your toothbrush, $50, that velvet shirt that brings you luck, a voice that's your mother's investment. By morning we'll be London, on the run, city bound. I know someone, I'm sure we could stay in her apartment.
Folks, I just started to get to know the music of the Neils back about a month, month and a half ago, and I've fallen completely in love.
Aww.
They're incredible. Part of my reaction on your website, I think it says equal parts Beatles, Cranberries, and Joni Mitchell, which I can see that. But I also thought the way that your voice and Katrina's voice go together makes me feel like Indigo Girls are really coming out too.
It's funny you should say that. Like, we just did a festival with Amy Ray, and I adore her. And I told her after her band played, the Amy Ray band, which I just think is one of the best bands out there, I told her how great I thought they were. And she was like, that means so much coming from you. And I almost fell over in a faint because I just feel like, you're Amy Ray. Oh my God. So yes and no. I mean, when the Indigo Girls first popped, Katrina and I had already started singing together. And my first reaction was, oh no, they've stolen my idea of being two women folk singers singing together. This is terrible. And of course, it was not terrible. It was wonderful. And they've been nothing but supportive to us. I love them. I love their music and I love their songwriting and I love their mission in the world. So yes, they're sisters for sure.
Well, let's talk a little bit about mission, because I do get a sense of engagedness in your songs that not every musician has. Sometimes so much of our spirit can be within, but it appears that yours also connects very notably with the world. Where does that come from? What does it express itself as these days? And so I want you also to write a complete novel about this too.
I think I have, actually. I think I have. Again, it goes back to my parents were both, well, they were very young when they had us. My mom's only 23 years older than I am, and my dad's 24 years older than I am. And they were young, idealistic folkies who came of age when JFK was president. And they really believed in ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. And I'm definitely not like a rah-rah patriot of the United States, but I do feel like the sentiment there is correct, that happiness and purposefulness and joy comes from asking what I can do for my sisters and brothers, who is everybody, and for the planet. I know Katrina feels the same way. Katrina wanted to be Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. Like, that was her young ambition. So I think we've always had this kind of, we want to make the world a better place. And as I matured, I also felt like there is something much bigger than we humans out there. And I can trust it. I can trust that if I kind of get my selfish concerns out of the way, that I can be used for good. And I know that that's true. I've experienced it.
Where did you grow up?
We were born in New York City and moved to Northern Virginia outside of DC in the mid 70s when we were school age kids. We hadn't grown up going to church until I was 8, but I did always have a sense of God as being a spirit that I could always talk to. So I was always talking to God as a little kid. I didn't initially like church or Sunday school. I found it like school and like, why are we doing this? And sermons were boring for a very long time. And then when I was about 14 or 15, I began to understand the sermons, and we were blessed with having really interesting, intellectual, left-wing ministers at our church. Even though the congregation was not that lefty, I mean, a lot of them worked at the CIA, but they seemed to always want to have left-wing ministers. I don't know why, but I always felt like Jesus was a radical trying to free his people from the bondage of the Roman Empire. I mean, that was sort of my initial feeling about Jesus. I don't know. I just always liked it. It always made sense to me. And I was very shocked when I began to see sort of more traditional Christian approaches that didn't really align with my values. But in terms of like what you said so beautifully a minute ago about, I'm not just a white man from the Midwest, I definitely feel like it's kind of an illusion that I happen to be a female, white, Northeastern human, that I am made of all the atoms and stardust that everything else is made of here. And that letting go of the illusion of my humanness and the illusion of my separateness is what it's all about.
And folks, just so you know, Narissa was first raised Presbyterian, Episcopal was part of your journey, Congregational Church where you now attend. And Buddhism and yoga are part of your essential being now?
Yeah, when we were on the road in the 90s and aughts, all of us were readers. And our favorite thing to do if we had a day off was to find the independent bookstore in whatever city or place we were traveling through. And we would hunker down individually for hours reading books and buying books. And I came across the work of Thich Nhat Hanh and his books. Well, I started with Pieces Every Step, but I think I probably read them all. That book was incredibly important to me. I feel like it sort of formed my theology to a certain extent. I read Marcus Borg. I read tons of books sort of by Western Buddhists, the Jack Kornfield School of Theravada meditation, and did a lot of meditation practice. I meditate every day still.
With that as background, what's our next song to share for Song of the Soul?
Well, definitely it would be Endless Day, which is... I used to joke. It was the first song I wrote after I became a mother. I used to joke that before I became a mother, I was this close to being enlightened. And then...
Wind that one back, huh?
Yeah, that took me back a few years, I'd say. And I was blessed with two remarkable kids and very easy kids as the work of raising kids goes. They both were good sleepers, good eaters, you know, no health problems and just delightful people. And even so, it's the hardest thing I've ever done and challenges me spiritually all the time. So I wrote Endless Day during one of the writing retreats that I run here out of my home in Northampton. It came from equal parts watching Hedwig and the Angry Inch, that movie, which you will hear. I noticed as I was watching it, the song Put On My Makeup has the chord progression from Pachelbel's Canon in D. And I was like, so many songs take that chord progression and do something interesting with it. Like the Blues Traveler song, The Heart Takes Me Back is one. Anyway, there are just lots that use that form. And I thought, it's my turn to write a Pachelbel song. I had read Alice Miller's book, Drama of the Gifted Child. And there's a line in there, something along the lines of the sun doesn't have to understand that it's a star. Its only job is to shine. I love that line so much. So anyway, those were the two sparks.
And it's from the album Sister Holler. Again, the song is The Endless Day. It's by the Neals, written by Narissa Neals, our guest here today for Song of the Soul.
I want to be grounded, safe on the ground so I can fall. I lie on the grass after each Dionysian. I want you to fight me. I want you to like me. I want you to set me up in the stars. I want you to set me up in the stars.
Far from the dirt, far from the hurt, far from the part where
fall to when it's having a bad day. But something protects it, and something connects it.
That wonderful song is The Endless Day. It's written by Nerissa Nields, who has been part of two different configurations of the group with her and her sister Katrina. So the Nields, or the, what was the other one?
Nerissa and Katrina Nields.
So that's what it is now?
No, we went back to being the Nields, but after the first iteration of the Nields ended with my divorce, we felt like we wanted to establish ourselves as Nerissa and Katrina Nields so that the fans wouldn't be confused or feel like, what is this acoustic country folk thing that they're now doing without the guys in the band? Then after 10 years, we felt like, okay, we can go back to being the Nields because everybody understands now.
Anyway, folks, that again is from the album Sister Holler. I want to remind you, you are listening to Song of the Soul. On the web, you find us at northernspiritradio.org. Been doing this since 2005, both the Spirit in Action and Song of the Soul programs. So we've met so many thousands of people doing wonderful work for the world through music and sometimes through many other world healing actions. Come to our site, check that out, leave a comment when you visit, make a donation if you feel led to do so. We do depend on you for our income as opposed to corporations or government. We've made conscious decision to serve our listeners. And so please check our website and find the 35 or so stations nationwide carrying our programs and then help make them possible, because these stations are only sustainable if they've got your support, the community radio stations that carry our programs. Please reach out to them. Again, we're visiting with the music of the Nields, but Nerissa, you seem to be the songwriter of it. Does Katrina get to write songs too?
Katrina does two important things. One is, yes, she does write songs too. She will write about one song per album, I would say. She didn't write anything on Circle of Days, but she usually does write something. But she gives me, Katrina is my muse. She calls me up all the time and says, I have an idea for a song for you to write. Like it was her idea for me to write a song called Gotta Get Over Greta. It was her idea for me to write this record that was connected to the calendar. She became a real musical theater star as a teenager. She was a very tiny little kid, and now she's 5'8". I mean, she had like this huge growth spurt when she was a teenager and became a much bigger person in every way you can imagine. You know, like just she was Mama Rose in the musical Gypsy, to give you an example. And she was fantastic, this huge belting voice. And I think she just sort of came into her own and came into her body, and she does move so beautifully, but she doesn't have any training. She just does. It's just who she is.
When you're singing, frequently she's a lead singer.
Oh, yeah.
I see you lead singing on sometimes. Your singing is every bit as good as hers, in my opinion.
No, Katrina is a better singer than I am by far. And I'm not trying to be modest.
Well, I'm free to have my opinion.
Well, let me put it this way. I was not brave enough and didn't have enough confidence in my singing or playing to be a soloist. That wasn't something I was ever interested in doing. I mean, after the age of 7, I wasn't interested in being Joni Mitchell. I was interested in being the Beatles, in a part of a band. I wanted to be on a team. And Katrina, when I saw that she could sing, I was like, that's my person right there. Who knew? The person I grew up with is the person I'm supposed to be working with. And it took Katrina a while to be convinced, but I figured it out when I think I was 20.
Well, I happen to love your two voices together. I mean, certainly her voice is lovely, your voice is lovely, but together is where it really juices my spirit. I don't know if that's a real phrase or not, but I like it. So when you're getting together, that's where I really feel like the power of the universe starts to shift. So give us another example of your music together.
Well, actually, this is like the most personal song I ever wrote to Katrina. I don't write to Katrina, but this song I did. It's Wasn't That a Time, and I wrote it in 2013 or 14. This song came about in an odd way. We have another sister, Abigail, who's 5 years younger than Katrina, and she called me up one day to say that she'd found this old cassette of my demos from way, way back before the Neils. There was a song called If You Don't Mind, and I remembered that song, and it didn't totally work, but I liked the chorus, which was, if you don't mind. And I just liked that. So I took that and made it the refrain for Wasn't That a Time. And I wrote this song about where Katrina and I were in 2013 as mothers collectively of 4 children, both married, both immersed in our communities and continuing to perform as a duo. And it was about the glory of our 20s when we'd been part of this 5-piece band touring the continent. So it really tells the story of the Neils. You know, it was also sort of a love letter to our fans. I mean, we had the best fan. We have the best fans in the world. They get us. They support us. They show up for us over and over and over again. And they have become something of a family to each other. Anyway, that's, I hope that the song says it better than I just did.
It says it so beautifully. Again, the song is Wasn't That a Time? And it's from the album, I guess it's 17 in Roman numerals, XVII. Wasn't That a Time by the Neils. Website, neils.com. Wasn't That a Time?
Wasn't that a time, Eliza, when everything was new? I showed you all the world, and you knew what to do. You wore the right dress every time, and every note a valentine from me.
Nerissa Nields writes such beautiful songs and performs it with her sister, Katrina. And that song was Wasn't That a Time? And I have to confess that I listen over and over to music before I do an interview. And I was listening to this song as I was hauling maple sap a couple days ago. And you made me cry. It touches the fabric of the hopes, dreams, excitement of my youth. And I wasn't touring as a band. I mean, I did other activism things. And the activism note in here, you're really talking about changing the world. Was there a conscious element of activism that was going in? It's like I saw online one of your videos was encouraging people to vote, for instance. So this one made me cry, just reaching back to those tender, beautiful things. Now that I'm in my late 60s, it feels like, well, I'm not going to set off on that adventure at this moment. But it was so precious, and you brought that back.
Well, good. I'm so glad.
Are there specific elements of activism that you try and pursue, or is it just generally, let's make this world a good place?
I could answer that from the inside, or I could answer it more from the outside. We were not overtly political in our music, per se, in the 90s. We became way more overtly political after 2000, and that was both because it was Katrina and me, and we were making decisions as a duo rather than as a five-piece collective. I think everything changed in 2000 after that election. The left really got a wake-up call when Bush won the presidency in 2000. It was shocking and frightening that tiny little margin, you know, like that. I won't get into the weeds about all of that. However, I will say that even though none of the five of us identified as gay or bisexual or trans, we were always allies. And I think because we were involved in the theater world and just because of the friends we had, we were always allies of that movement and of people's right to love who they love and be who they are. So that theme is in our music in the 90s for sure. And I think today that may be one of the biggest, in terms of personal active social justice, that feels very important to me.
Well, let's share another song right away. We've got a few more to get in. And I have a feeling that we're going to go over time. So folks, remember to check nordenspiritradio.org. For broadcast, we can only fit 55 minutes, but there's more riches here that we're getting from Nerissa Nields. So what song are we going to share next?
Well, I'd love to talk about Tyrants Always Fall, which is probably one of our biggest hits. This is an example. This is a great example of a song where Katrina called me up and said, write this song. So like many, many, many people, after the 2016 election, my community was shocked, in mourning, and depressed. And I felt in the 2 days after the election that the apocalypse had come. The two things that gave me some hope, some measure of hope, were that Hillary Clinton had actually won the popular vote. That was very heartening to me because I could see that part of the problem is structural in this country, that it's not a true democracy because we have this electoral college system. And then the other thing was this line from Mohandas K. Gandhi that I remember seeing in the Richard Attenborough biopic about him that came out in like 1984. He said, throughout history, there have been tyrants, and tyrants always fall. Always. I hung on to that. So Katrina called me up all upset. I told her these two things that were keeping me going. And she said, all right, you need to write a song. And what I want you to do is have one of our voices going, Tyrants Always Fall, and the other voice going, there are more of us than there are of them. And I said, okay, I can do that. And what I was thinking about as I started it was my own feeling of vulnerability as, at the time I was 49, a 49-year-old woman, like feeling personally dissed because the country preferred this complete fascist idiot over an incredibly competent, professional, older woman whose biggest problem, people seem to think, was qualities that they found unattractive. I mean, I know there are conspiracy theories too, but the whole thing made me personally really angry. So I sort of started with that, look, do I have to tell you again what the fight for feminists has been and why? So that was the start. And then I just went forward.
Fasten your seatbelts. You're going for quite an anthem, I think. Tyrants Always Fall. It came out in 2017 by the Neils, written by Nerissa, our guest here for Song of the Soul. And remember, folks, there are more of us than there are of them.
Taken me my whole life to celebrate. I won't go back. You can give me a number, slap on a label, tell me I won't be welcome at your table, but I won't bow down to the tyrants anymore. I know what to do. I've been here before.
Tyrants Always Fall is such an anthemic conveyance of the power, the effort. And even when you refer to in the song, Nerissa, where sometimes I'm weak, then it's your turn. We do this together, and we may not live into the answer to this. You're dealing with hard truths. Well, folks, I will have a link to that video so you can watch it as well. But again, track down anything with respect to Katrina and Nerissa Nields on their website, Nields.com. And by the way, Nields, in case you haven't figured it out, folks, is the same as the word fields, but with an N instead of an F. Just Nields.com. And there's also a link I'll include on NorthernSpiritRadio.org to Nerissa, to her website, because she has written a number of books, NerissaNields.com. I think it's time for one last song. Where do we go here to conclude your Song of the Soul, Nerissa?
When the pandemic came, I thought our career might be over. We had our new record, November, out, and that song, Tyrants Always Fall, was the single from that record. And it came out in January 2020, and the whole purpose of the record, it was all political songs. We were going to go out on tour and try and get the vote out for Joe Biden or whoever the Democrat was. We didn't even care. And it wasn't set at the time that the record came out, but it definitely would stump for Joe Biden today. So then, of course, everything shut down. We lost our entire tour. And I thought, music may never come back. Who knows? But after about a month, Katrina and Dave and I started doing this Monday Night Live thing for our fans on YouTube. It was beyond our wildest dreams. It was like, it ended up being the gift that kept giving back to us. And Katrina would make these shows every Monday. She would curate them the way a DJ would, the way like a folk DJ would, you know, who has a radio show, who has a theme. And she would always find a theme and then do the songs based on the theme. And I made a joke one day, when you were a DJ, Katrina, you used to do this very thing. And she was like, when I was a DJ, you should write a song called When I Was a DJ. So I did. And what came out of writing that song, I used a technique from Jeff Tweedy's book, Write One Song, or something like that. Can't remember the title right now. Jeff Tweedy from Wilco. He's one of my favorite songwriters. And he says to do a word ladder where you take nouns from one category and verbs from the other. So I picked up a book off the shelf. It was Nathaniel Philbrick's Mayflower, and it had all these shipping terms. So the verbs were DJ verbs, and the nouns were shipping nouns. That's sort of how I created all that. But then what came out was this character who was very much like me, or very much like my friend Ed McKeown, a person who, in this weird sort of apocalypse of independent music and the sort of internet takeover that's really changed radio profoundly, you know, is anybody listening, is I think the question a lot of us have, a lot of us musicians have, and a lot of us DJs have. Who's listening now? Now that everybody can curate their own playlists on Spotify, do they even have a need for a radio station? Do they have a need for a DJ? And it's been decades since DJs had real authority. I mean, arguably since like the 60s or 70s. I don't know. You would know better than I. But that Who Can Hear the DJ Lost at Sea, I was just thinking about all of us who had a different paradigm for music. And hopefully there's some hope in this song, as in all of our songs. We always want to leave some hope.
Hope beyond the ghosts that you refer to in the song. It is hard to watch the world change. I think one of the reasons people don't live for 2, 3, 4 centuries is because watching that much change leaves so much bittersweet feeling in our hearts. We can't hold that much.
Well said.
Well, folks, we're going to end our visit with Nerissa Nields with one last song from Nields. Their website, again, is Nields.com. The links on NorthernSpiritRadio.org, along with NerissaNields.com. Check out her books, her poetry, her fiction, her factual, her mixing up of the world, making it a better place. Take the ingredients, mix them differently, and you'll end up with something better. And we're going to end with one more song. It's called When I Was a DJ. It's from the latest album by the Nields called Circle of Days. Check out the full album, even though I know you can get individual songs these days. The full album is a story worth living. So please enjoy When I Was a DJ, and we'll see you next week for Song of the Soul. Thanks so much, Nerissa.
Thank you, Mark. It was so wonderful to talk with you.
And I was the DJ.
When I was a DJ, mixing fire, mixing salt into the wounds of your desire. When I was a DJ, I sang the whales to sleep. I always tried to give you something you could never keep. When I was a DJ, pressing tabs, choosing islands, celebrating all the B-sides. When I was a DJ, I engineered the road makers. I could hold you for acres, and I held you in your sleep. And if you listen closely, you will see that I am mostly just a sequence man, someone who understands the language of the land. When I was a DJ, I played the age, I cut the rage, playlist. When I was a DJ, I'll tell you something you may know. I engineered that volcano, and I made it out alive. And if you listen closely, you will see that I am mostly just a sequence man, someone who never banned the language.
Theme music for Song of the Soul is by Chris Williamson, and it is called Song of the Soul. Check out all things Song of the Soul on northernspiritradio.org. Guests, links, stations, and a place for your feedback, suggestions, and support. Send your Songs of the Soul to me, Mark Helpsmeet, via the info on our website, and join us weekly for Song of the Soul.